In this world, nightmares lurk. They hide in our neighborhoods, walk our streets, wear our faces. But they are not us. They are the world's best kept secret, and we are gonna find them. Welcome to Uncanny Valley Cancer Cell.
Hello everyone and welcome. This is a Chronicles of Darkness tabletop campaign played in the Hunter the Vigil storyteller system. And when we left our party, they were all back at the base, putting things back, contacting mysterious men on their phones.
I love internet men.
Preparing meetings in dark dive bars with their sister. So this episode, we're going to follow all of those plot threads and see where they go. Thank you, motorcycle down the street. We really appreciate
that. There they go.
It was just the Foley that sort of accompanied
That's just the podcast taking off.
Yeah. We're glad that the soundboard is with us today.
Off to a roaring start. Oh, boy.
To a worrying start. I think off the top, JD, you had something you wanted to say, yep. Mason, right?
Yeah. Well, first, I want to, he's going to go grab one of his sports bags, and he wants to go remove the box from the pedestal.
Okay. sure, I'll let you do it. It's just put on with some bolts, and you just have to unscrew them.
Yeah, just unscrew them.
Yeah.
He's going to put the box in the bag.
Okay.
And then he's going to go see Mason.
Okay.
And so I go up to his, I guess he's in his room?
Yeah. Well, you know. He's been staying in the bunks lately. It's just one of the bunk rooms. Because down in the bunker, we have all.
Yeah, just the rooms.
One of those rooms, yeah.
One of the rooms, yeah.
You would find him putting the finishing touches on what looks pretty similar to the medallion he made for Vic.
Okay, so I'm just going to maybe knock on the doorframe.
Yes?
Yeah, okay, hold on. And he'll come in the room and he'll shut the door behind him. Okay, so this is how this is going to go. I'm going to talk. And you're going to not for a while. And then we'll have the you talking phase. Okay?
Deal.
Okay. So, and he'll reach over to the bag and he'll pull it out and he'll put just the box down. And it's like, you know, like loosely opened, I guess. And he's
with
like,
with the remnants of glue from.
Yeah, with the remnants of glue. It's obviously been messed with.
Attempts.
Yeah, okay, so there's this thing, and I'm not sure that I was, you know, supposed to retrieve this thing, but in my defense, you said nothing, and you will say nothing right now, and I didn't know anything about all this stuff and whatnot, but listen... I get it. Okay? So, I'm sure you saw everything when we were in whoever's fucking crazy memory world, right? I think it's pretty easy to see that none of us have had the, you know, easiest go of things. The whole the family expectations thing. I get it. I get it all and all that stuff. And I get the non-traditional, you know, kind of family setup. I had the thing with my mom and things weren't much better with dad and not much in the way of siblings, you know. But the expectations were high, and things weren't always the best.
Mason's nodding.
So, yeah, I get how this is probably none of my territory to be involved in with this yay box. And I'm sure you'll want to see what's in it, but hold. So, you know, this stuff isn't easy for me. Just by the way, just letting you know, I'm not in a great, super awesome place with all this stuff. So, I just want to say I'm sorry for kind of intruding on all that and to do what I can to repay you. I'll let you in on how that stuff kind of went down for me. Because this was not supposed to be any of my knowledge, and to my best of ability, I didn't mean to let any of this be part of yours. But here we go. So obviously you've seen that my childhood was, yes, indeed, figure skating. Not something I really wanted anybody to see, but here we are now. And I went to the Olympics, actually, as was kind of relevant with the background noise and all that bit. I was not a big fan of the environment around it, although I did love what I did. Besides the kind you feel for competition, I was always hungry. Mm. And I was always hurting. And it was nothing I could really take anymore. So I went to the Olympics when I was 17, real young. I had a promising future. And as one might see, I disappeared from that scene. The factor being I turned 18. And I left. And I ran. Because it was a lot. It was a whole lot. It was more than I could handle, and I had to figure things out for myself. And I struggled for a while. And I eventually found something else I was good at. With the whole stuntman business, but the one feeling I was left with from before was I was alone. I was still alone. I didn't really have any friends, as it were, and my family, I think you've seen. So it was like that for a while. I'm not the best at making friends, and so it took a while, and that's when I ran into Mackenzie, and I was without friends, and I was without family. I was without really anybody that I cared about. And I didn't really expect anything from anybody around, but she's the kind of person who breaks down those walls, you know? When she decided she wants to be friends with somebody, that's kind of, there's no argument to it, you know? And, I owe you a lot. Because this situation we're in, as you've seen, she had an accident once, and her family has tended to have accidents. And I haven't said anything yet, but we've seen why. We know why now. And it's this world that you've brought us into, and I have a chance now to figure it out for the only person who makes me feel not alone. And I can't thank you enough for that. And Yeah, that's about it. So I'm real sorry about the box there. And yeah, it's your turn to talk. Let's keep it short, though.
That was... my heart.
I'm just amazed you kept going that long.
Yeah.
It was very JD.
It was very JD.
It was
cute.
My heart.
I thought you were going to do some weird magic act for about half of it, but...
I understand. And that was one of the most thoughtful and sincere things that anyone's ever spoken to me. And any frustration I might have felt when whatever this is transpired, regardless of the contents of that box, it'll be shelved because you were genuine with me in this moment. And I understand your trepidation. Thank you for that.
Not a problem. Let's just say I owe you one, okay? How about that? There's a lot of stuff going on there. So, awesome, thanks, bye. And he just, like, taps on the door as he leaves. Obviously uncomfortable.
What's in the box?
Well, within the box is what they found yesterday. It's a note from your mother. And a set of jacks with a little rubber ball. And it's basically, she's writing to you. Thinking that you would be a young child still, thinking that you would find this many years ago, referencing you and both of your sisters and how she loves you. And she hopes that you have fun with this new game.
I think Mason would just take that piece of paper, fold it up gently, and dig it in his breast pocket. Button it shut.
Fade to black.
It's really cute and sad. My heart!
My Kokoro is Brokoro.
Brokoro!
As with everything, there is no time to rest. I believe he needs to make a phone call
to
Charlie for some advice.
So Charlie picks up the phone, and you hear the distinctive crunch of wood chopping. And he goes, "Man, I tell you, these don't get any easier to do when you get to be my age."
Are the boots helping your feet?
Oh, yeah. He pauses, and you can almost picture him looking proudly down at his new shoes and wiggling his toes. Oh, they're rock comfortable, let me tell you. They're really helping with this cold weather.
You're not wearing them now, are you? You should be wearing steel toes, Charlie.
Steel what is?
You should be wearing steel toes when you're chopping wood.
Oh, I'm not gonna hurt myself. Don't you worry now. I'm not. I'm not gonna do any of that kind of. Oh, son of a bitch. So what'd you need, son?
Well, I kind of need your unique perspective on something. Have you ever been around? Vampires.
Vampires.
Or chased after them or anything?
Vampires. I probably met one or two.
So I need to go to a place that has them, and I want to kind of disguise myself so I'm not caught.
What, like another laboratory or something? I'm sorry if I can't tell you where they keep them.
Sure, but more or less what I'm asking is
Or else they don't sell them at stores or nothing, right? I mean...
Do they have a strong sense of smell like you do? And do I need to mask mine if I do? If they do?
Oh, you're talking about live vampires.
Yeah.
Oh, well, shit, I don't know. I guess they probably have some good sniffers, yeah?
What do they smell like?
To me, they just smell dead. And like flowers. They really like them flowers.
Do you know what kind?
Whatever covers up smell of rot.
Okay, I can do that.
Yeah, they smell right terrible, and they knows it, so they cover it up best they can.
Okay. Well, as ever, thank you, Charlie. I appreciate your time. Don't hurt yourself now.
Ah, sure thing. You know, you gotta watch out for them queer vampires. I mean, they'll touch anything.
Oh, okay.
Charlie!
I say it because I'm a queer, too, so I knows a few things.
Yeah. He is bi. It's canon.
It's all right. Well, I mean...
I met one once wanted to lick my toes, and I told him no, and I slashed him across the face, because, I mean, that's some weird stuff there.
Yeah.
Who wants to smell feet?
How do you get to that point?
I don't know. Uh-huh. You ever find out, you tell me, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to go inside. I think I threw out my back. Okay. See you later.
Bye, Charlotte. Yeah.
That's a side of Charlie we haven't seen.
Sweet old boy.
A very different side.
Right. In a way, it's the first side you saw. I mean, when you first met him, he was hitting on Wolf, wasn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, he was. He did.
Wolf was hitting on him.
Yeah.
Oh, right. And he told him that he was too young.
He was unusually receptive.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He changed his mind. Right. Well. I think he's just going to start packing up his things. We need to kind of plan where we're going. So if anyone else had something to do at this time.
I doubt he is, but is Abernathy going to be invited along?
I mean, I think Mason just put his stuff together and kind of look up where... I have to find the smell of death. So, he's gonna probably, whoever's not busy, he's gonna go up to them and he's just gonna go up to everybody one by one and see if they're busy.
Well, let's just go around the table, shall we?
Darla, he's just gonna rap on her door if she's in there.
Is this... am I going on a date the same night that he's...
Yes.
Okay. Darla sort of sticks her head out. She sort of like half face of makeup on.
Yeah.
She goes,
curlers in.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Curlers in. Clearly just out of the shower. What's up?
Are you available this evening? I need to find a corpse.
No. We're going to have to unpack that statement a little bit here.
Yeah.
What do you need a corpse for?
I need to smell like it.
I have a date, so I don't think I can go with you on this pleasant night trip that you're presenting me with.
I understand. Surely somebody else can help me camouflage my scent. I appreciate your time. Good luck with your date.
Okay. Mason, you aren't doing something weird, are you?
I don't... That's objective.
I mean, is it our kind of weird? Or is it this is like a weird your family kind of thing?
That's pretty normal for my family, I think.
You know what? I'm not going to touch this. Okay. Go have fun.
Be safe. Have a good time.
Thanks.
Is it anyone I know?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, be safe.
Oh, Mason. And she will disappear into her room, and she'll come back with a little piece of paper. And she goes, so I'm meeting somebody from the internet. I'm going to give you the address. If I don't call back by tomorrow, I'm dead. Here you go. Bye-bye.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So should I just show up around midnight just in case?
No. Give it to dawn, you know. Let me call you.
All right.
But, yeah, if I don't call back by tomorrow, I'm super dead.
Okay, I might look
for me
anyways,
in the river.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Rap on Wolf's door.
Come in.
How you doing, man? Mason's coming in.
You find Wolf. He's just kind of sitting on his bed, kind of staring at his phone, scrolling through something. Buddy, I had a weird fucking day.
Gotcha.
What's up?
Nothing too much. I need to have a rendezvous with my sister, and to do that, I need to smell like death, so we need to go in the woods and find a corpse.
Okay.
Okay. Darla's predisposed. She's going on a date with somebody.
She's got a date?
Yeah. So
that bitch didn't tell me she had a date? God.
Yeah. She, so it's nobody we know. So she took the standard precautions and gave me the address, so.
Yeah, if she doesn't call back by tomorrow, she's dead.
Yeah. So I'll.
Very common.
I'll go to the house and, find her or burn it down, you know.
Yeah.
Standard.
Yeah, system, same. You know. Same. Yeah.
Standard procedure.
Very standard.
But,
okay, cool. You need to find some dead stuff?
Yeah, more or less.
We should probably get you some dirt, too, because if you're a corpse, you gotta smell like dirt and death.
Well, yeah,
right?
Walk and talk. I'm gonna go find a...
Walk and talk. Let's walk and talk.
See what Abernathy's doing, but...
Cool.
More or less, my sister wants to rendezvous at a vampire Elysium, because the hunters wouldn't be there, which makes sense, but the inherent risk is that we get attacked by vampires, so I'm going to attempt to smell like a vampire.
Oh, dude!
Hmm.
Maybe I can get you in.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I'm not a vampire, but, you know, I'm a thing.
Okay. Do you know if...
I have no idea how this stuff works, man. I literally fell through a tennis court, and then there was an argument about water fountains for, like, 2 hours.
Do you know if vampires and changelings get along?
I have no idea.
Okay. Maybe we
I mean, I hate vampires, but, like, maybe we can make this work.
They don't get along with werewolves, so I don't know. Might call Amelia on that. Anyways.
We'll figure it out.
Wrap on.
Right.
Is Abe in his room?
Yeah, he's in his room.
Abe.
Yeah, you hear, duh, 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 and then he just immediately opens the door. He's a little wide-eyed. Mason, how can I help you?
Wolf takes a step back.
Am I interrupting anything, Uncle?
He just, like, looks over his shoulder and then just slowly turns back and says, only a little? Feel free to come inside.
All right. And you just step right in.
His whole bunk has been just done up in sigils and pentacles, just like big old spread, like spread out pictures of pictures from like the Key of Solomon, just like demon summoning shit.
Went full Silent Hill.
Oh, are you communing with somebody today, Abe?
Is that a few?
I'm not stepping foot in this room.
That's your own choice. I'm communing with a few somebodies, yes.
Okay. Abe, could you keep a secret from my father?
Depends on what the secret is. Hold on, wait. We need to leave this room if we're talking about deception. Out.
Okay.
Wolf's literally just kind of out the door. He kind of steps back so you guys can get out.
So now we're all just stuffed together in the hall. And then he just, like, slowly closes the door. All right, continue.
Okay. And it involves... You recall my meeting with my sister?
I do.
I haven't spoken of what we talked about. More or less, she wants to meet.
That's good.
And,
oh, no. Well, that's still good, but...
Well, this is the hard part. She wants to meet, but she wants to meet on their side. And she doesn't want to be followed by them. Therefore, we're meeting at a vampire Elysium in disguise. So, I need to smell like a corpse.
Yes.
And I was going to ask if you could come with me and offer your eyes and ears and expertise.
I'm going to be honest with you. I dropped a lot of acid about 4 hours ago.
In that case, all right, I'll go get you some,
some.
Do we have Diet Pepsi in the house? It has to be Diet Pepsi. It can't be Diet Coke. Do we have any?
No. I need some Klonopin and then I'll be just fine.
You can't mix your uppers and your downers, man. You're gotta get weird.
No. That's actually true. You take Klonopin to stop an acid trip.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I was going to do a bit, but go on.
I do like the idea of Abernathy getting quote-unquote weird. Because apparently he's not already all the time.
He's about to get normal.
What'd you
I'm
going to
say
for?
Yes, you do have Diet Pepsi.
Perfect.
He's about to get average.
Fucking walks out in a sweater vest.
So, I just want to let you know that that's where I'm at.
Okay. You'll probably watch the car.
That sounds great.
Okay. Wolf, were you able to find anything back there? Or?
Yeah, I got some Diet Pepsi. We don't have Pop-Tarts, though, and that's really necessary. Drink this.
He just, like, snatches it, just sort of swirls it around a couple of times, and then takes a sip. My God, that's amazing.
Yeah, no, it's, this is the only time Diet Pepsi is appropriate. Yeah, you drink some of that, you eat some Pop-Tarts, and then I play, Dark Side of the Moon. Calms everyone down. It's perfect.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Mason, I had a lot of fun in college. I'm just gonna leave it at that. Don't judge me,
college
please.
College sounds great.
I'll go and get. I'm going to go and get a jacket. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Well, if I'm not out in 20 minutes, I've gotten lost up here.
We'll,
so please.
We'll meet you in the lobby. I need to go talk to JD still.
All right.
Just
JD. Oh, Mason, JD's just real quick. He sticks his head back out. Mason.
Yeah.
I trust you. Thank you for Leah for including me in your ventures.
Absolutely. But I needed to ask.
And then he just like slowly goes back in and closes the door.
JD's in the kitchen. He's cleared off the table, and in the middle of the table, there's just an apple, and he's staring at it intensely.
I think Mason might stop and watch for a minute before he calls out.
I'll go get more Diet Pepsi.
Depending on the angle you're viewing from, you'd see his eye begin to twitch. Just staring at it.
JD?
What?
Can I have your attention for a moment?
Yeah, hold on. Damn, okay. What?
All right, I found some Fanta. This will do. All right, here you go.
The long of it or the short of it?
It's a Fanta.
What,
no, what do
you
want you. About?
He's asking JD.
I don't know. The short of it, I guess?
I need to smell like a corpse. Will you come help me look for one?
Okay, sure. Tell me when we're leaving, and he goes back to staring at the apple.
Abernathy,
hey, you drink that Fanta right now, mister.
Abernathy comes back out as he goes back to staring at the apple, and he's just like, all right, I found my coat. Oh no, did he find? What is he doing?
I don't know, he's not drinking the Fanta.
Hold on!
Drink the Fanta, JD.
I don't know why I need to drink the Fanta, hold on.
Because it seems like you're having a bad trip, and Fanta
I'm not having any sort of trip, I'm just trying to do a thing.
I don't think Mason's seen him apparate things. No.
Wolf definitely hasn't.
Isn't it apportation?
Yeah, I did a little bit in front of your dad at the table. It moved a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay.
Are you gonna roll?
No.
Okay.
All right. It's not gonna work.
All right. Well, you could just kind of get your things together. I'll fill you in as we go, but I would recommend gearing up. I'll fill you in the details in the car. I'd rather not tell the story more than once, but I'm meeting up with my sister. And, reasons I think have been included in, our families don't get along.
Yes.
Yes. And so we're going to go to that side of the river carefully. And we're going to a place that hosts a Elysium of Vampires. And we're going to have the meeting there because the hunters wouldn't be there.
Okay.
So I need to smell like a vampire, and I just need somebody to watch my back so that we can just kind of quick and dirty it and probably run for our lives because things tend to go tits up around here.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Didn't really even notice that they smelled that. And do they smell that dead? I didn't really notice.
Where is it? Was he looking at
Abernathy? I know. Yeah, yeah.
He's looking at Abernathy, and he just looks at you. He does not blink.
Yeah, are his pupils like different sizes?
Yeah, no, and they've switched sizes.
This table's just gone off the deep end.
Oh no!
I'm glad that I can just throw this little nugget of.
That's where we started.
You're all just so fucked up now. This
is just Mason's normal state. Excuse
I think,
you.
As you guys are leaving, or Megan to leave towards at the door, I think Darla's gonna sort of walk by, and she's sort of dressed up. She's in a slinky black dress. And she's calling her Uber on her phone, and she goes, "Have fun rolling around in corpses and getting all juicified."
Where are you going?
You suck for not telling me you had a date, by the way.
I have a date.
Don't bring them back here.
Why would I ever do that?
We live in a bunker. Agree, that no like one a brings a date to the idea. Bunker.
Why would I ever bring a man home to our bunker?
I'm just making sure.
I mean, the room, the accommodations upstairs are nice.
Just put a tie on the doorknob, you know.
Yes, take him to the airplane room.
Yeah, I think he'll be really turned on by the airplanes. Or the creepy doll room.
The creepy doll room, yeah.
This is where I live, Mr. Hot Date Man. Ooh, I love it.
Mr. Hot Date Man.
Yeah, that really does it for me.
She has a very valid point. But seriously, you didn't come to the one gay guy before you had a date.
It's kind of a last minute thing. Alright?
Yeah, it's kind of a last minute thing.
Are you making fun of my accent? I don't appreciate it.
He gives you a knowing smirk.
Anyway, I got a date with some rich guy. I gotta go.
Ah, there it is.
He's rich!
Oh, yeah.
And then she climbs up 30 ladders.
Clank,
in her heels.
She takes her heels off first with a big sigh. I'll see you guys in half an hour.
We have a garage door you can leave through.
Yeah, but then I have to walk through the grass. Nobody wants that.
It's her feet.
It is hard to do in heels. Okay, so, for this very special expedition, I would like to start by... Could I, like, make a science roll or something to see if I know what we're gonna need to make him smell dead?
Of course. Yeah, go for it.
Cool.
So Mason adventured that he needs to smell like a corpse, dirt, and flowers to attempt to mask the other smells.
As long as I'm on this... As long as we're on the subject...
You have got to be fucking kidding me.
Uh-oh.
Is it bad?
I got 5 successes on the stupid fucking joke.
Never mind.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no. That solves any question
so
that I might have.
So, we're probably going to need to get you some iron supplements just so you can, like, eat those so your breath will smell like it's blood, because iron, blood, makes sense.
Yeah.
We'll probably need to find some grave dirt. It does usually smell different than normal dirt because it's been freshly... digged up or whatever.
I know where that is.
Dead thing, definitely. And he just goes on.
I surmise that roadkill is probably the primary ingredient to smelling dead.
Oh, absolutely. We're gonna need some roadkill.
As he's saying this, Abernathy is just like, Abernathy is just watching him and like nodding with each point. Just like, just single nod. And he's like, yeah, checks out. You're a man after my own heart, Mr. Wolf.
And, of course, the last stop being Victoria's Secret for some floral perfume.
And, yeah, we'll have to stop by there, of course. I cannot believe I got 5 successes on that stupid fucking roll. Is Wolf secretly a serial killer or something? Like, I cannot justify this.
No, he listens to a lot of true crime.
I was going to say, he's watched an incredible amount of ID Discovery.
There you go.
Alone in his boxers. So, we'll say you all go and acquire those things, and we'll cut away to Darla's date.
Mason at a Victoria's Secret would be...
I imagine you go get the roadkill first.
Beyond time.
I am going to request like we do the Victoria's
Secret.
And then you
walk into the Victoria's Secret.
Well, Mason would be up for that, but I imagine Wolf would try and convince him to do that last so they don't smell like that the whole way.
He'd probably want to do that first so they don't smell... So they're not covered in viscera or dirt or blood when they go into the Victoria's Secret, you know, 4 rather large burly men.
We want the cherry blossoms.
Anyway, we'll come back to that. You all have some time to think up how you want to do that scene.
This is so stupid.
Your finest perfume, please.
Jesus. So,
Darla's date.
So, Darla.
Yeah.
Your Uber stops outside of a theater that was once a Catholic church. So it has the design of a Gothic cathedral that has had the front stained glass sort of removed and replaced with these custom-made panels depicting scenes from famous operas and great works of literature. With little scrolls at the bottom listing off the characters or the title, you know, Othello and things like that.
Is this a real... sorry to interrupt. Is this a real place?
Nope, pulling it out of my ass.
I feel it's
It'd be pretty
buckle,
cool,
buckle, buckle. That is the coolest fucking place. I want to go to there. That is fucking
that does
rad.
Sound
that
rad.
Sounds rad as shit.
Well, there you go. Kansas City entrepreneurs, get on it.
Let's, yeah. No, I'd go
buckle,
on
Buckle, we
there.
Could do that here.
The doors are wide open, held open even, with velvet rope lines going out either side and some bouncers with tablets and things standing by the doorway and sort of greeting the guests. There are lots of people in high-class attire, heels, dresses, suits, the whole thing. A few of the women and men even have hats. And from the look of the place, you can almost surmise that there's a bit of a vintage trend to some of the people there. Don't look at me like that.
Okay.
Do you mean they're old or are they hipsters?
They're hipsters.
Oh.
Do I see my day?
Well, it's a big crowd, so it does take a moment. However, you do get a message, and it is a selfie of your date. And behind him is so inside of a chapel, there's generally a line of pillars that separate two sort of side corridors and then the central area leading up to where the altar is in a church. And generally behind that, there's a sort of divider, a large divider, behind which the priest would go during the ceremony. So what you can see is the pillars in a line behind him as though he's inside.
Okay, well, I'll try and go suss him out.
And so he asks, you know, are you here?
Reply, yeah, I'm out front.
He says, what are you wearing?
it's a black dress, it's a one shoulder, floor length. I don't know. That's it.
I'd love to see.
Oh, of course. And she takes a selfie, making sure to get just a hint of cleavage.
That is for Darla a feat.
Just a hint.
To only
and
get
like
a
little
hint.
Wink, you know.
And so he sends a perfect and a winky face. And a few minutes later, as you are lining up in one of the queues. A man approaches you. He's a couple heads taller than you, slender, looks just like his picture, and he smiles broadly. Well, you must be Darla.
Hi.
Hi. It's good to meet you.
It's good to meet you in person.
It's so strange to say this. I mean, we've already chatted, but meeting you in person is just... Gosh, you're beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
And he offers you his elbow with a sort of conflicted look on his face, like he's not sure if this is too forward.
And she happily takes it.
Oh. did I tell you what we're here for?
No, you just said it was a play? An opera?
Yeah, it's Carmen.
I know Carmen. But I have to say, I haven't ever seen it in person. I'm real excited.
Lovely. I suppose there aren't many plays in Macon, Georgia.
Well, we have a community theater house that is actually just the community center. And we have lots of the kids from school. They do, you know, like plays and stuff. I don't really go to them. I'm sorry.
It's all right. That's one of the things I most enjoy about sugar relationships. I feel like a relationship is something anyone can find, but a mentorship, a dynamic which fosters growth and cultural experiences which might otherwise be out of your reach, I feel like that is a truly special role to play in a young woman's life.
You know, I never thought about it that way, but I like the way you think.
Well, let's see how you like your cultural education today. He steps up to, the line has been slowly progressing as you've been talking, and it leads you to the front of the queue. He steps up to the bouncer on that side and simply lays his hand on the tablet. It does a scan, and then with a wink and a nod, you are both let into the theater.
Was that your ticket? How does that work?
Oh, this is a gala, a thank you gala for blood donors.
Oh, that's real cool.
Yes, my company collects the donations and transports them safely to the storage facilities where they're then brought out to people who need them.
So you're like humanitarians.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's real cool.
You can, and he does a sort of self-deprecating smile.
Joel, stop.
I'm trying to do a scene here.
We're just excited, Buckle.
As this is an audio medium, Garrett is currently holding up an invisible neck and biting on it.
Yeah, he did a gnawing motion, like he's eating real good barbecue.
He gives a very charming, self-effacing smile and kind of shrugs a little and goes, "You can understand how it would be hard to gain someone's trust when you deal in blood."
But, I mean, you gotta save a lot of lives that way, though, right?
Oh, certainly. Yes, there are many individuals who certainly would not live without our services. He walks you up a spiral staircase.
Now we're all just smiling.
I mean, personally, I'm just like, he's bouncing between, God, he's hot, and he's a fucking vampire.
Yeah.
That's part of what makes him hot.
Okay, so... Given that Darla's been a hunter for a little while, and this is starting to look a little bit...
And you're, I don't know, psychic?
A little bit strange. even as stupid...
And you're psychic!
Even as stupid as Darla is.
No, I think you get a chance to...
Can I do like
press
a...
Press X to doubt, Darla.
Yeah, press X to doubt. Okay,
to be honest, this sounds
Would you like to describe his perfume?
This sounds like a setup for a really awesome movie. Doesn't
it? I dated a vampire? No, vampire sugar daddy.
Vampire sugar daddy.
Who the bleep did I sugar?
All right, what should I roll? Do you want me to do... I think Eye for the Strange.
Eye for the Strange. You're psychic. Go okay. for it.
So
if she's nervous, that's absolutely what she's going to
sweet
rely
blood.
On.
Sweet blood.
It's Eye for the Strange, then it's occult, and then wits? Is that the other one?
Presence is your attribute that we use for that.
Okay. Well, same role anyway.
Your arcane power.
Oh, that was hot garbage. I got no successes.
Oh.
Not a critical failure. Just no successes.
You know, all of this sounds really kind of odd, and especially because he is such an attractive guy. And so for a second, your better judgment does make you pause and look him up and down and think, this can't be real. Why does a person like this need to use a dating app? But then he sends you a charming sort of smile as you reach the top of the landing, and he holds a hand out to the box seats that he's gotten you.
Wow, box seats!
Yes, it's a privilege of the family.
Wow, that's real cool. I think she just waves it off as rich people stuff.
Yeah, and in that moment, you sort of want to believe it's real. And you dispel your own doubts. So he guides you, and they are good box seats. Generally, you know, the boxes come in sort of a line going closer to the stage, and his is the closest on the right side of the theater. And he sits you down in one of the four chairs available and says, "Now, I know there are more chairs than us, but don't worry, no one else is coming."
Oh, so it's private.
Yes.
Now, I have to confess, I this probably isn't going to be in English, is it?
Oh, no, but, and he motions to a sort of electronic placard above the stage, mm-hmm. But in these modern times, we have so many wonderful amenities, they provide a translation above the stage.
He is a vampire.
Oh, that's not
so
cool.
Dreamy.
Oh, no, I'm not denying that.
So, Darla, tell me. Have you ever conducted this kind of relationship before?
a transactional relationship, one might say.
I mean, not through a dating app, certainly, but I've had several relationships that could be considered in this manner.
Okay. So, there are different ways to go about it. What I feel is, I'd say the most respectful, though perhaps it's simply fair. I prefer to pay my ladies before we go out. That way, you can acquire things that I'd like you to wear, or do rituals which I would prefer you to do before we spend time together. I'll give you a budget for the things which you require, or rather, which I require of you. And everything else after that will be yours to keep and spend as you wish. However, given that these things are all fundamentally self-serving, I also like to give my girls an opportunity to tell me what it is they most lack, or that they most desire. And don't be shy. This is an opportunity for you to say what you truly want that would never be attainable in your day-to-day life. Those are the things which I most pleasure to give to people.
Well, I'm sorry you took me aback.
You don't have to answer right now. I'm sorry to put so much pressure on you. We've only just begun, after all. If you like, you can think about it and tell me at intermission or after the show.
Yeah, give me a little bit to think on it. But everything else sounds totally amenable.
You have a very obliging personality, don't you?
I mean, someone said that at least once in my life.
And a very cute laugh. All right, well, let's settle in. Would you like any concessions before the show?
Oh, yes. Are you drinking, or do you partake?
I don't drink myself. I don't like to put myself and others at risk in that way, but I would be happy to get you anything you would like.
How about just a white wine?
A white wine. And I'll see if there's any little surprises. Perhaps candied nuts or licorice.
How about you surprise me?
I will. He gets up and walks away.
Is he certain he doesn't want a deep red wine?
I'm going to end up in the trunk of somebody's car.
Why?
He doesn't drink wine.
Bye.
He just takes off his nice shirt and just says, I'm a vampire. And
no, hey, before he leaves, he just opens the door, poof, turns into a bat and flies out.
Oh, go grab
flies
it.
Flies down to concessions.
And on that note, let's catch up with the boys at Victoria's Secret.
Why are we going to Victoria's Secret?
Any perfume.
We need something that smells like roses. Well, I guess any flower could work, but frankly, if he's going to be dead, we need roses.
Okay, so did you guys leave Abernathy in the car?
Oh, absolutely. We're not taking him into a mall like this.
Oh, God, going to a mall while on acid would not be a good idea.
We'll drop him off at the GameStop, see what happens.
Or the arcade.
Ooh. Does the mall have an arcade?
Place to put someone that, on acid. Oof.
All decent malls have arcades. Come on.
It's up to you guys. He's kind of he's kind of taking your lead for the moment.
Abernathy, are you okay with sitting in the car for a bit with the AC on?
Yes.
Okay, well, here are the keys.
With the AC on.
I kind of imagine it's like that sign of that dog. It's like he's listening to his favorite music. The AC is on, please don't break the glass.
No, he's just in there. He's in there reading the Mona's Hieroglyphica, just like thumbing through it, and then would just like hold his forehead by the AC. Just, oh. All right.
We'll be back really soon, I hope.
Who's saying that?
Me, Mason.
Okay, good.
We were speaking. Good luck with that, buddy. All right, and close.
Okay, so is Abernathy acting weird?
Oh, he's tripping balls, man.
He told us he would partake in an acid. That sounds great.
Oh.
He just kind of like clicks open the door and it's like, I'm 450 micrograms deep. I've seen God. Shut.
Can he hear us?
I heard he took an antacid.
Let's go. All right.
Listen, I'm just glad that he's tripping balls and can't see, you know.
Next time we need stronger Diet Pepsi. Okay.
yeah.
So we need to go to... What now?
What smell are you recommending?
Well, I mean, if we're going for, and Wolf has a moment of, oh right, we're in public, we have to be normal again.
Yeah.
If we're going for that sort of thing, we're going to need something that smells, like, super strong, super perfumey, and super flowery. So, and he motions to the giant pink monstrosity that is lit up in the mall.
Oh, that's very...
Yeah.
Are you sure they have flowers in there? It looks like ladies' undergarments.
Well, it's perfume and ladies' undergarments.
Ah.
Oh, and sweatpants that have words on the butt. But, but... All right, come on, boys.
Okay, all right. I think Mason's, like, nervous.
Wolf walks in a little too nervous. A little too confidently.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Wolf's been with his sister so many times.
God, it was really bad when his older sister was the one driving and he was 13 and wanted to go to the mall because this was his punishment.
Yeah, this was the payment for the trip.
Yes.
Sitting there holding her purse for half an hour while she tries on, well, what about a B cup in this band size?
If he wasn't going to be gay, that would have made him gay.
So, you step in. It's a classic undergarment store. There's little sort of stackouts with lots of lace and female mannequins with outrageous things on them. And, of course, the perfume is all the way at the back, which I'm sure Wolf guides them to.
All right, let's see what we got here. Do you got any sample papers? Yes, okay.
I thought this was about a dead body.
I mean, they cover up, they cover up the smell.
JD, what do you bring dead people? Well, my people bring rocks, but what do you guys bring dead people?
Why would I don't know, why would I bring a dead person anything?
Well, that's actually a very good question. I mean, we just do rocks because they're, whatever, flowers. You bring dead people flowers.
Oh,
so,
you mean like on their, okay.
And not to mention, you need to cover up the smell of that. So, here. And Wolf just hands Mason some drenched in perfume pieces of paper. Smell these, tell me which one you like the most.
The more you smell, like, tears start to come to your eyes. It's cloying and overwhelming, but you have two more to go through.
Eventually, he hands you one with shaking fingers. This one doesn't smell bad. And it's Lily's.
All right, this will do. And he grabs a bottle and goes to the register.
Guy's just mustard gassed. That's amazing.
We'll just mustard gassed. Poor Mason.
It's so strong.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you doing tonight? Do you find everything okay?
Certainly did, ma'am. Certainly did. We'll just take a bottle of whatever this one is.
Ocean Breeze Pomegranate Sunset. Good choice. Mm-hmm. And without missing a beat, she reaches behind the counter, pulls out a tissue, and hands it to Mason.
Thank you. Maybe it's not all indecent.
Bing! Anything else?
Okay, someone give me a high or low.
Hi.
She looks deadpan between the three burly men in hunting-esque gear.
Yeah! And he slaps JD on the shoulder. What size do you think he needs? I keep saying he needs an E, and Wolf just kind of reaches around and kind of gropes his chest. I think he needs an E cup, but he insists he's a D.
How dare you! And he'll walk out indignantly.
The shop lady gets this all the time, and she sort of chuckles, and he just goes, quite honestly, I don't think we have his band size, but there is a wonderful shop down the road that caters to drag, and I've heard their service is really excellent.
Is there?
That's what I've heard.
What's the name?
The Bust Stop.
The Bust Stop.
With a T. Bust.
Bust Stop. I'm keeping that one in the noodle. Thank you.
Don't think I haven't seen that commercial.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry,
that's
a real store in Tulsa.
That's a Tulsa classic.
And without missing a beat, Wolf turns towards where JD is walking. Baby, come back! I didn't mean it like that!
No!
I was going to ask, what's Amelia's measurements?
Oh.
I don't fucking know.
This is a little early.
Okay. they just had their first kiss. Let it simmer.
You couldn't tell from holding hands?
Nobody knows that.
I did think of it, but then I was like, oh, those two, though. So anyway, she rings you up, hands you a receipt, and she's like, and don't forget, if you fill out the survey on the bottom, then you can get 20% off on your next visit. She smiles Ooh. Between the two of you. For, you know, whoever. She winks and hands you your bag.
Thank you, ma'am. That girl thinks we're in a triad.
What?
Don't worry about it. Okay. All right. So, we got your perfume. Yeah. We got the iron supplements. Yeah. Got some roadkill hanging out with Crazy Larry in the car.
Cut back to Abernathy like, oh, they did kill that thing. Good. That means I didn't. Goes back to reading.
And so you find yourself with the final item on your list, grave dirt.
All right.
Sold in every mall in America.
Which, Mason, you happen to know exactly where one graveyard is in this town.
No.
Well, that is on the side of town where you need to go.
Well, we'll need to make a stop, but I know where a graveyard is across the way.
All right. Cool. You want to stop by, like, Adidas or, I don't know, what do straight guys like to do at malls?
Not be in the malls.
That is a very fair answer. Moving on.
I must confess, I haven't been to a mall very many times.
Though, Mason, the tempting scent of Wetzel's Pretzels is calling to you.
We're getting mall pretzels.
And with that, we'll cut back to...
You guys better get one for
Abernathy. Oh,
Abernathy's
You're going to
come back with
pretzel.
Mall pretzels, and then Abernathy's going to be like, what?
What? So,
watch out,
we'll...
snake!
We'll cut forward a bit.
It's a snake! Snaps it out of his hand.
To intermission. You've just worked your way through... The white wine and the small bag of popcorn and candy nuts that he came back with. The play is everything you would have expected. It's well performed. The costumes and sets are quaint and beautiful to look at. And with the effort or with the benefit of the translator above the stage, you even know what's happening.
Wow!
Is it how far into it are they?
Halfway. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Once the lights come up, Darla returns to her date and just goes, wow, I don't think I've ever seen anything like this.
Good. That's exactly what I like to hear. I love new experiences.
Speaking of which, I had a think about that question you asked me.
A thought?
Yeah. And I think I'm interested in experiences.
Well, that's an excellent answer, and one I think I can agree to. What sorts of experiences?
Oh, you know, the usual. Dinner, shows, like we're doing tonight. Museums, that sort of thing.
I see.
And?
I
mean, I'm just here to try new things, I think.
Well, I hope you don't mind if I have some follow-up questions.
Sure, shoot.
I think I'd like some time to think as well, though.
Okay. Well, we have a whole nother half.
That is true. Yes, that... I think I'll take some time. And the lights go down as the performance continues. You all get to the van laden down with greasy, delicious pretzels. And slide open the door to find Abernathy. What are you doing?
Oh, he has not turned a single page. He's just been looking at the same one set for like the whole hour they've been gone. And he says, all right, I'm pretty sure I'm coming down. Just, do I smell garlic parmesan?
Yeah, that one's mine.
Fork it over.
You got it butter and salted.
Fine.
Have another Diet Pepsi.
I can't take that much processed sugar in 48 hours.
It's Diet Pepsi. There's no sugar in it, you weenie.
Aspartame is a horrible, horrible chemical.
You are literally tripping on acid, good sir.
Yes, like my forefathers before me. I don't need no processed sugar water.
Well, I got you a processed sugar water anyway, and do you want the fucking pretzel or not?
Yes.
Okay. Here's your pretzel and drink your processed sugar water. I don't want to hear another peep out of you until it's gone. Why am I talking to him like that? He's like twice my age.
He starts trying to talk to you, but unconsciously just shoves the pretzel into his mouth. It's my life. I'm in my pretzel.
And to that, you drive across the bridge to the other side of Kansas City towards the graveyard.
Okay. About what time?
At night, indeed.
At night.
Welcome to Graveyard After Dark. In this episode, Mason digs up another grave.
Well,
okay.
This didn't really work out that well the first time, so keep your eyes on the road. Cars might pull up, and at that time, we'll want to leave. But I'll be right back. I just got to move into the edge of the woods over there. There's an older grave over there. A little more out of the way. And
you got it.
I'll just take off my coat and roll around a bit. Goodness. Be right back.
Abernathy is watching the whole horizon. He just sort of pats himself and he just is like, oh, damn, I forgot my guns.
Did he?
I did now.
Oh, yep. No. Okay.
He still has his knife.
We're going to sneak on over there.
Yeah, should I, like, make a drive check or something? Or
you don't have to park or anything. It's pretty dark, and there's no one around that you can see. But if want to go with him or stand guard, then, yeah, a sneak check would be good.
Okay, I'll Wolf will stand guard.
All right, so make your sneak check.
Okay. I improved my deck, so now I get to roll 3 whole dice.
Ooh.
Ah, not bad. 3 successes.
All right, so, Wolf, you are undetectable. Mason, you are subtle and moving back. Do you have a plan for where you want to get the dirt from, or just a random spot?
Preferably just...
Or just roll around in it?
More or less, we're just going to find a low cover area and just kind of fish up some earthy dirt and just kind of rub it along the inside of my shirt and on the inside of my pant legs and, you know, wherever the odoriferous parts of the body are.
Okay.
And then...
all the essential shower cleaning places.
Yeah. All right, well, you do
and
it.
And then we put the jacket over it so it's not as obvious that
you,
I'm dirty.
You do get some mud on you, but it is mostly not noticeable. Yeah. And itchy.
This just dawned on me. I'm fairly pale, but do you think I'm corpse pale, Doctor, or should we get something for that?
I mean, we could probably stop by a Rite Aid and get some makeup if you're worried about that.
I'd rather not cause an issue if we could do that quickly.
Yeah, sure, okay. Sure.
Do you know about that? You knew about the other thing.
Buckle?
I'd say growing up with 2 sisters, you probably don't know the makeup itself, but you know where it comes from.
Well, I was going to ask if you think Wolf's done drag or not.
Oh, well, I'd say that's a character choice, sir.
Buddy. He pats you on the knee. I got stories for you later. Okay. Let's get you some makeup.
All right. That's our last stop, and then we're heading to the... Was it... cemetery? Was it a funeral home?
It's a bar, I think.
Oh, is it a bar?
Yeah, I think it's a bar.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, I don't know why I remembered it being like a funeral home or a cemetery. Vampires.
The highest class Elysium, the bar.
Yeah.
Yes, our Elysium is in... The Applebee's.
I was gonna say, I think I am in the highest class of Elysium.
After close.
Oh, man.
In the back of a Petco.
So what kind of bar are we pulling up
behind
on?
The Ralphs.
Is Mason going to look terribly out of place wearing kind of Mason-esque clothing?
Well, it's hard to say from the outside. It looks kind of like a dive bar, like a small town dive bar with neon lights and a sort of a smoking station outside the door. Windows streaked by rain and dirt and not often cleaned. And inside you see a sort of deep brown Western style bar with a long countertop and a couple of men in plaid shirts walking back behind it, mixing drinks, some patrons slouching on stools. It looks like a sort of low class affair. So you, are you ready?
Well,
I'm assuming you already stopped at the Rite Aid.
Yeah, no, I got him some pale foundation and some white translucent setting powder.
Yep. So go ahead and make a craft roll for me.
That's a good one. That seems fair.
I don't want to assume he did a bad job, but...
I got a success.
You got a success, okay. So,
at the very least, I applied it to skin.
So, you saunter in through the sort of door with a bell on top that dings as you open it. It slides shut behind you, and you're greeted by the sort of mournful dirge of country music, a slow cadence, old school country music.
My wife left before my truck.
Exactly.
Gonna go hang a criminal.
Now my dog is dead.
I actually got a really good country song if I can find out where it is on YouTube.
The bar has a recessed inner room with a rectangular raised seating area around the sides. The front door has a sort of at the meeting of those two raised platforms in front of steps that go down into the recessed eating area with a bar on the far side. And a very ancient, dusty disco ball just sort of hanging sadly in the center. There's a hostess podium where you're currently standing and a young woman in a polo shirt with a logo etched on it. She looks you up and down and gives you a smile with fanged teeth. And she says, hello there. I haven't seen you before. May I help you, sir?
Yes, just passing through. Wanted somewhere to sit and mind myself for a time.
Passing through. That's a rough go of it. I believe the open tables are on the floor, the right-hand side.
I'd rather just sit at the bar if I could.
Oh, of course, yes. Help yourself. Make a deception roll.
What?
Bum bum.
Does he get any sort of bonuses now since he went through all that?
Well, he's not getting minuses because he went through all of that.
So, deception what?
Let's see here.
Subterfuge.
Let's
what?
Go with subterfuge and composure. Because I think what gives you away in this
sweet
scenario.
Mercy.
If you're trying to look like you fit in, what gives you away is if you look nervous. So I think composure is a good stat for that.
God. Fuck off, Buckle.
Oh, thank God. No, your face.
Two successes with two dice.
She got one with four dice. No, five. She got one.
Hell! Yes. Oof.
Five dice.
You pulled it off.
Wait. You spoofed her, son.
Oh, you done spoofed?
Unclenched.
No, we're not unclenched yet.
Just poop yourself and it'll make you smell better. Yeah. No.
So you
newbie, huh?
You sit at the bar and wait while the bartender tends to a older gentleman slouched with his sort of friend on the other end of the bar. He makes his way to you. He's a tall man with a sort of scraggly beard and long, dirty blonde hair pulled back into a sort of a man bun. He wipes a glass with a white towel and then throws the towel over his shoulder and sets the glass on the counter. What can I do you for?
Nothing yet. Just waiting for some company.
All right, let me know. We got some great O negative in today.
Just kind of nod.
Make me another deception check, please.
I did not get a success.
He got two. So as he's about to walk away, he pauses and turns back around and gives you a closer look, wrinkles his nose a little bit and squints, and says, "You know, you had a hard day of it, or a hard night of it. You smell a little funny."
"Yeah, I'd rather not talk about it. I'd rather not talk at all."
"Oh, I get it." And he comes forward and leans conspiratorially on his crossed arms. New turn, right?
"Yeah."
"Yeah, I can still smell the human on you. I'll give you a tip, friend. Lighter on the perfume is better. You want them to know you're new or they'll just eat you alive, thinking you're an out-of-towner." And he kind of winks and makes like a finger gun and then turns around.
I like him.
Vampire finger guns.
What was your name?
Bartender.
"Oh, Kyle. Nice to meet you." Kyle. He holds out his hand.
West.
"Well, you let me know if you need anything. I got some weaker stuff, which settles a little easier on young bellies." And he does a rub of his stomach.
At this point, Mason's just going to, like, pull his glove off and wipe his sweaty palms on his pants for him, then put his gloves back on and just kind of sit there and tap the table, ground a bit, and just think about what the hell he's doing here.
And waiting for your sister to arrive, that's where we'll leave you and jump back to the end of Carmen.
Where I'm in the boot of a trunk. We're speeding down the highway.
Well, I think you can agree the second half is quite a bit less expected than the first.
Yeah, I didn't expect any of that stuff to happen. You know, I thought I knew what Carmen was about. Apparently not.
San Diego.
Please say it. Say she doesn't wear red at all.
She doesn't wear red at all.
Carmen wears red.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she wears red.
She does actually in the play.
It is.
Had nothing to do with geography at all.
There you go.
Oh my god. I will. It's always a safe bet with operas, but assume that someone's gonna die or get dragged to hell.
You're not there. But it's true.
It's true.
No, this is Garrett talking.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I did too. Well, shall we be on our way?
Yes, I think you said something about dinner.
Yes, right you are. I hope you'll forgive me having a late meal, but I find the evening agrees with me.
Jesus Christ. Can I do another eye for the strain?
Yes.
He might as well be going blah, blah. <every sentence. laughs>
Nosferatu.
And the worst part is I would totally date him.
I know.
Wait, I have to ask. Is he wearing a cowled cape?
No. Look, guys. You've been bashed on eccentric millionaires for too long, okay?
Every
family has their particular quirks. He just phrases things strangely. God.
I got 4 successes.
You know, if you're thinking about it, every millionaire's a vampire.
Hot shot, shot, shot.
After all you've been through, you finally think, holy shit, this dude's a vampire.
I think we've lost Michael.
JD down.
I'm gonna high-low this. Sorry. I need to know if I'm...
She's so ostensibly a vampire. It's so bad.
Okay.
Look, I had to make it so that even Darla would get a special
midnight
check.
Agrees with me. Blah, 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 blah.
I had to be really, really on the nose.
I just wanted to start laying down newspapers.
Okay, I wouldn't have been so obvious, but I have to make it plausible that Darla would find this odd.
I would love to have you for dinner.
Blah, blah.
How do you like worms? I just had loaded and I got high. So Darla is going to very subtly sort of
touch the part of her dress where she's hidden her safety knife.
Mm-hmm.
She keeps with her at all times.
Yeah.
make sure it's there. It's mm-hmm. there. And then she smiles and says, "So where are we going to dinner?"
You know, I need to...
Oh.
So he says, I think I've decided on my follow questions.
All right.
You've determined what I am, yes?
How long have you been a vampire?
He gives another sort of shy and embarrassed smile and looks at, sideways. He says, a rather long time. But I don't want to get down to business too quickly. I genuinely am enjoying your company. Perhaps we can discuss at dinner?
That depends what's on the menu.
He puts his hands up in front of him and he goes, I've already eaten, thank you.
All right, but if I end up in a river somewhere, I'm gonna be pissed.
Besides which, you should know that feeding doesn't especially harm unless we want it to.
Well, that sounds like a mighty fine excuse.
Very well. I have a reservation at a 5-star restaurant downtown. I set it for 10, but it seems the play ran a little long, so if you don't mind, let's be on our way. He leads you outside, and there is a car waiting. A lot of the cars are honking and really agitated, but it doesn't move. It stays there until he opens the door and allows you to step inside.
I think she sort of hesitates before getting into the car. You know, like, I think her instincts are saying, maybe this isn't the best idea. But she sort of sends him a sideways look. Does he look still very genuine?
You can do a check if you want. An empathy check. Presence empathy would be the way to try and see what he seems to be thinking.
I was waiting for the line. Say it. What am I?
What am I? What are you? How long have you been a vampire?
How long you been a Dracula?
How long have you been 16?
You know, this one time I killed a vampire and then burned him. And
then I put
his
success.
Ashes in a box.
Seems genuine to you.
Well, shit, she wants to see where this is going. So she gets in the car.
Dating a vampire? I've had worse nights.
He sits in next to you and closes the door, and the driver in front rolls up the privacy divider. the car speeds away through the night, and he sort of crosses his ankles and sits back in his seat. Any other questions?
So did you know who I was before you found me on this app?
I told myself I wouldn't lie, but it is so tempting. Yes, I did.
How?
Your present in Chicago left an impression.
Shit.
But I'm not the one you need to be afraid of.
Oh?
In fact, I feel you did us a rather significant favor taking out who you did.
Well, I, you know, wasn't exactly a hardship.
Tucker was a
fucker.
Vexing individual. But he had his uses to many people. And though he'd been presumed dead for many years, there are some individuals who would rather he have stayed alive. He had claims to feeding grounds, which are highly contested, and his reemergence into our world could have solved many a political issue. However, and he sort of scratches at his leg anxiously and glances to the ceiling and thought, I am one of those individuals involved in one of those political disputes, and
I'm quite glad that my interests have been protected. So I thought I would extend that protection to the person who inadvertently granted it.
So you're saying I did you a favor?
Yes. I'm sorry, I've been told I'm long-winded.
That's fine. I know a few people like that.
JD. So that's my interest in you. But I do have to say that I'm charmed. I really did mean to install some protections on you in case my rivals choose to come after you, but I really did enjoy our time at the show. Your enthusiasm is refreshing.
So how many rivals are we talking about here?
Oh, a few dozen.
A dozen?
Oh, is that a lot?
I don't know about in vampire terms, but, you know, people terms, kind of a lot.
How do I explain? Entering society as a vampire is something like growing up in a pack of wolves. You all seek the same prey, but there's only so many resources for so many mouths. And within a pack, there is always someone stronger than you until you have killed all of your rivals and are, in fact, the strongest. And for someone like me who prefers to explore the more cultured side of life, you can imagine that this might equals right philosophy is trying and dangerous. So you find ways to get what you want without playing the game, as it were. And then once you've established some measure of security, you do the best you can to enjoy this cursed life that you have. For me, that is seeking out new experiences. One of the highest luxuries when you've been around as long as we vampires live is novelty. Everything becomes routine after a time, and anything new, anyone who genuinely takes joy in life can be a boon.
So is that what you want with me?
I think so, if that's something that you're willing to abide.
I'm still deciding.
Take your time. And we'll cut back to Mason at the Elysium. So you've been waiting for a while, a good 10, 12 minutes, long enough that you start to get really nervous. She's late. And you know that generally Amity is early. But eventually you hear the door swing open and the bell jingle, and some booted steps come into the entry hall and greet the hostess. And you hear your sister assure her, "Oh no, it's don't worry, I'm here to meet him." And she steps down with the heavy wood soles of cowboy boots and walks across the hall and sits next to you. When she sits down, she looks over at you, and her eyes go a bit wide, and a small grin quirks her cheek. What are you wearing?
I didn't think I looked pale enough.
She pokes your cheek, and her finger comes away a little bit white, but there's so much makeup on that it doesn't leave a mark on your face.
Right.
And she wiggles her finger at you. Look, it's a ghost. Hello, Mason.
Is this the place?
Oh yeah, this is the place.
No, for that.
Oh, well, it's Elysium. We can do whatever we want here. Oh, you don't know what that means, do you? I'm so sorry.
Not exactly.
Sorry, it's such a relief to be able to just talk to you. She looks at her sort of white printed finger and says, "The vampires have peculiar ways of doing things." She lowers her voice. "The Elysium is something of a no man's land. I don't know if you know this, but not all the people she kind of motions around to indicate that she means vampires. They don't all get along. So these reprieves exist so that they can do political matters without starting wars. No violence is allowed inside of an Elysium.
Cool.
So, really, so long as we're not found to be, you know, unfit, we're perfectly safe. And, you know, the more I come here, the more I'm recognized, and the less questions get asked. And she raises her hand and orders a drink, which, to your surprise, comes out looking fairly normal. She holds it up. She says, Kanpai?
Sure. I don't have a drink yet, actually.
we'll say she ordered two. All right. You tip it back, and you get the very odd flavor of sparkling water with a little bit of sugar and oil in it.
Okay.
Ew.
And she puts it down with a wince, and she goes, yeah, they can't eat anything but oil and water, but, you know, you kind of get a taste for it.
What brings you here?
Honestly, it's just a chance to get away. Thank you.
Go, Scooter, go.
Thank you, Scooter.
But,
believe it or not, that side of the family is just as nuts as ours.
Goodness, yeah. Well,
So what do you know?
Well, I know that we're close. All that's left in this region is anticipation. Nostalgia's dealt with for the time being. So if we can find the way to get at it, we might be able to get the families together and go remove it. But we'd have to convince them that there is, without a reasonable doubt, proof that it's been imitating our families and causing conflict for years.
Well, we'd have to prove, and I'm sorry if this is too soon, but we'd have to prove that the other side didn't kill Mom. I mean, we can talk in blunt terms or in vague terms if you want, but that's the truth of it, is that Dad is not going to cooperate with anyone until we can prove that it wasn't them.
No, I don't actually know why or how she died.
Oh, Mason.
I just know that she's dead.
She puts her hand on your arm.
Kind of winces a little bit, but leaves it.
You were so little when it happened. I feel terrible. We should have told you the truth.
Life happened. But
the truth is, it was, and you can't, if you ever meet him, you can't hold it against him. He didn't know. But it was the person who trained me. It was, his name's Ewan. He would be your uncle, or uncle once removed.
So it was or was not him? I thought.
He's dead now.
We're operating under the assumption it was that. How would we?
Well, that's the thing, is that he died that night too. I'm convinced it was him, but I don't have a way to prove it.
Why would it not be the Fae impersonating him to do what it's been doing for decades?
Well, here's what I find strange, is that there's never any fingerprints on the Fae, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that they just don't think to imitate, in my experience.
Sure.
And they found prints on her. That's why I came to the other side of the family. I wanted to ask them. I wanted to see his things, find some part of his possession that might have a fingerprint on it. And I found them. They matched. He did it. But here's what I don't understand. Why her? Or rather, if he killed something that looks like her, like we think, we think that's what it's doing, why not the Fae? So you see what I mean? I don't know how, but somehow it must be controlling them?
They can take possession of a person's will through contracts. If he entered into an agreement with it, it would effectively own him in a sense beyond physical nature. And that they do that by purchasing a being's name. And in that way, they ensure things stay under their control. A friend of mine was captured by that Fae a long time ago because somebody sold her its her name. And she was forced to do its bidding until she was able to weasel her way out as best she could.
And no one noticed she was gone.
It makes a copy. When it takes you, it leaves behind a copy that's almost identical.
Hold on then. How would we know then if they were real at all? If they can make copies and make deals.
The only thing.
How do we know anyone's dead?
The only distinguishing features we've been able to find so far is that those beings are very attracted to milk, and that if they see the other version of themselves, they will freak out, attack it violently.
Mason, you don't understand. If they can make copies, how do we know Mom's dead? How do we know the body wasn't a copy?
Because that would mean that she's in Arcadia with anticipation, and I don't want that to be true.
Uncanny Valley Cancer Cell was created by Bucklenagel and Stephen Pope and produced by Bucklenagel, Stephen Pope, and Deanna Venable. Editing and mixing done by Stephen Pope and John Tompkins. The players are Deanna Venable as Darla, Garrett Schmickle's Abernathy, Stephen Pope as Wolf, Michael Morris as JD, John Tompkins as Mason, and Bucklenagel running the game. Hunter the Vigil 2nd Edition is created and published by Onyx Path Publishing. Find us online at Uncanny Show on Twitter and at UncannyValleyShow.com. Make sure to check out other Save and Throw Show productions like Wild Cards or Experience Pointers wherever you get your podcast. And hey, have a good night.